Welcome to Torah Deimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Zmira Ozarowski, and today we will be studying Sefer Tehillim Perek Ayin Gimel 73. Mizmor Ayin Gimel 73 marks the beginning of a unit of 11 prakim, which is known as the Mizmorei Asaf. These next 11 prakim were all composed by a man named Asaf. Now, most of you are probably wondering two things. First of all, wasn't it David HaMelech who wrote Sefer Tehillim? And number two, who in the world is Asaf? So while we generally attribute all of Sefer Tehillim to David HaMelech, the Gemara in Bava Batra lists 10 additional contributors, which include Adam HaRishon, Avram Avinu, and even the sons of Korach. This Gemara teaches us that while David HaMelech did write the majority of Tehillim, when he put it together, he chose to include some other important and beautiful works written by others. Out of these additional writers, Asaf was the most prolific. He wrote a total of 12 Mizmorim, 11 of which form the upcoming unit that we are going to be studying. Now, in order to really understand these 11 Prakim, it's important for us to know a little bit about who Asaf is. Divrei HaYamim Aleph recounts the story of David bringing the Aron back to Yerushalayim. Like we learned in Sefer Shmuel, after the Aron had been moved from place to place to place over the course of many years, it was now being brought back to its rightful place. And David celebrated with a lot of singing and dancing. In Divrei HaYamim, it says that David HaMelech appointed certain Levim to lead Bnei Israel in the singing and praising of Hashem. And the head of this group was none other than Asaf. David assigns Asaf and his brothers to continue to serve next to the Aron on a daily basis, singing the Tehillim that they had composed together. The Bnei Asaf, descendants of Asaf, continued his musical and spiritual legacy, serving as singers in the Beit HaMikdash for generations. Later on in Sefer Ezra, we learned that Asaf's descendants were some of the first people to come back to Israel to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash and continue this legacy of leading the people in song and praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Beyond being a Levi, a poet, and also a musician, Asaf was also a Navi. He used his musical talents to give over deep messages about Jewish history and the future Geula. Many of his Mizmorim focus on themes of divine justice, national suffering, and of hope. His Mizmorei Tehillim remain forever a source of faith and introspection. In Mizmor Ayin Gimel, which we are studying today, Asaf grapples with the age-old question of Tzadik v'Ra Lo. He looks around him and he just can't understand why there is no justice in the world. Those who are righteous are given very difficult lives full of suffering, while those who are evil are living in a lap of luxury. How is this fair? Now, this is a question that repeats itself throughout Tanakh, dating all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. In Parshat Ki Tisa, Moshe asks Hashem, Hodi'ini na atrachecha, please let me know your ways. And Chazal explained in Masechet Brachot that what he's actually asking here is, Amar Lefanav, he said to Hashem, Mipnei ma yish tzadik v'ra lo v'yish rasha v'tov lo. How can it be that evil people lead successful lives and that tzadikim lead difficult lives? And Rabbi Meir in that Gemara explains that Hashem answers Moshe and he says, V'richamti et asher arachim, I will have mercy on whoever I choose to have mercy on, af al pi she'ino hagun, even if it doesn't seem to make any sense to you. Meaning, there is no real answer that we as humans can understand. Hashem has his own system beyond our human comprehension. But yet, this question continues to crop up throughout Tanakh, over and over again. Yirmiyahu asks, Madua derech rishaim tzlicha, why is the way of the evil successful? Chavakuk asks, Lama tachrish bevela rasha tzadik menu? Why are you quiet, Hashem, when the evil person swallows up one who's more righteous than him? And the entire book of Iov is devoted to this topic. And it's a topic that we in our generation continue to grapple with as we go through this war, watching as the most righteous are taken from us in battle and their extraordinary wives and families are left to pick up the pieces. And we are left speechless, trying to understand the ways of Hashem and how we can let this happen. In this Mizmor, like those people before and after him, Asaf expresses his inner turmoil upon seeing the apparent success of the wicked and the suffering of the righteous. He takes us through his own personal journey of doubt, frustration, and of ultimate clarity when he finally arrives at a profound realization about Hashem's justice. Let's take a look now at the Psukim inside. In Psukim Aleph to Yud Dalet, Asaf talks about his personal struggle, watching the Rishaim prosper. He starts off by affirming that he truly believes that Hashem is good to Bnei Israel. Mizmor LaAsaf. Ach tov liYisrael, Elokim lebari levav. Truly, Hashem is good to Israel, to the pure of heart. He knows this intellectually. However, he immediately acknowledges his personal struggle. Va'ani kim'at natayu raglai, ke'ayin shubchu ashrotai. But as for me, my feet had almost turned away. In an instant, my steps would have been swept away. The Malbim explains that Asaf is not merely expressing a fleeting doubt, but a deep existential crisis. The Malbim says that Asaf is saying, I started to really question Hashem's ways. My feet were about to slip off the derech, al kfira minut, to go to heresy. Asaf is really, really bothered by what he sees. In the next 12 psukim, he spends talking about the Rishaim and how they thrive. And he says in Pasuk Gimel in 3, Kikineti beholulim shalom rishaim ereh, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the peace of the wicked. In Pasuk Dalet, verse 4, Ki ein chartubot lemotam uvari ulam, the wicked live without suffering, for they have no struggles in their death. Their bodies are healthy and strong. In Pasuk Hey, verse 5, he says, Ba'amal enosh inemo, they don't go through the struggles that other people usually go through. The Rishaim, the evil people, see that they are so successful despite their evil, and so they become arrogant, and they even mock Hashem. In Pasuk Yud Aleph 11, they say, Va'amru, Echaya da kel, v'ish de'a v'alyon, how will Hashem even know what we're doing? Does Hashem know anything? And they continue in their evil ways. And this phenomenon really bothers Asaf. And he says, Hine ele rishaim, these are the evil people, vishalvei olam, and yet they're the most tranquil, have the most tranquility in the world. Achrik zikiti levavi, for nothing did I work hard to cleanse my heart, to cleanse my midot, verachatz b'nikayon kapai, and to bathe my hands in cleanliness, to act with yosher, with uprightness. And I was plagued with suffering all the days, despite my righteousness, despite the fact that I worked so hard on my mido to be a good person. I was plagued all the days, all the time with suffering. And my suffering was renewed every single morning. And Asaf is not sure what to do. He really feels that Hashem is not acting justly. But on the other hand, he's one of the leaders of the Jewish people, and he needs to be a role model for them. And he says, if I share these feelings with Klal Yisrael, if I said, I'll tell it as it is, how I really feel. Behold, I have made the generation of your children into traitors. I'm going to lead all the people astray. He doesn't know what to do. And so he goes on a mission to try and really figure out this issue. He really intellectually, honestly wants to find an answer to this question. He's not rebelling. He's not doing this out of chutzpah. He wants to understand why Hashem acts this way so that he can go and be a good role model for the people. He says in verse Tetzayin 16, Vachshava ladatzot, and then I pondered to know this. Dat Mikra explains, Hishtadalti litbonen kedei ladat lavinatzot. I really tried hard in order to understand this. He says, the lashon vachshava morekan al hishtadlut v'teshukah. I put in all my efforts and all my desires to try to understand this question. But he says, Amalhu beinai. In the end, kol hishtadlutai ladadzo nechsheve beinai la'amal. All these efforts that I put in to understand this was for nothing. Yigiyah lelo to'elet. Work for no purpose. Sharei lo matzati et ha'tshuva, because in the end, I didn't find the answer anechona lebaya shilabadati bo, to this problem that I was grappling with. He said, reached the point of utter despair. And suddenly, at this low, we come to a turning point. We get to Pasuk Yud Zayin, and Asaf reaches some clarity. Verse 17, Aravoa mitdashei kel avina achritam, until I entered the mikdash of Hashem, the sanctuary of Hashem. We'll explain in a minute what that means. Avina achritam, and I understood their end. Somehow entering into the mikdash gives Asaf a newfound sense of clarity. What is this Mikdash? The Mitzudat David explains that he's talking about entering into the literal Mikdash, whether it's the Aron in Yerushalayim during the time of David, or maybe a few decades later during the time of Shlomo in the actual Beit HaMikdash. But entering into the Mikdash gives Asaf a sudden sense of clarity. He's in a place where he's surrounded by Kohanim, where he writes, Kohanim ha-mitbodedim sham biyun chachma. Mitzudat David explains that the Kohanim spent their time in solitude trying to really study chachma, wisdom. And Asaf goes there, at PM Sha'alti, he asks them for some guidance. He's able to go there for direction. And these Kohanim in the Mikdash that are able to give him a sense of clarity, to understand that in the end, the Rishaim do not succeed. Rashi, on the other hand, explains it's not the tranquility and the clarity of the Mikdash that gave him direction, but rather the fact that Asaf is able to have Nevuah. And in his Nevuah, looking to the future, Asaf travels to Yerushalayim, and he sees in a vision that Sancheirev is going to lay siege around Yerushalayim in an attempt to conquer the Beit HaMikdash. But he sees in his long-term vision how Sancheirev is going to be destroyed. V'ra'iti ma'shei rab Sancheirev, I see what's going to happen to him, v'az havinoti la'acharit harasha'im, and then I understood the end of the evil people, Shehula Avdon. In the end, they'll be destroyed. Sancheirev is going to be destroyed, and he's not going to succeed in his mission. We'll talk about this more in depth later. And from this example, he can understand that the wicked who seem to prosper in the present will eventually be destroyed. Their success does not last forever. Before we examine exactly what Asaf's realization is, it's worth noting that he had two things that unfortunately we lack. Number one, the Beit HaMikdash, a place of clarity and direction. And number two, Nevuah, which gave him a long-term perspective. Now his conclusion might seem almost superficial. How can someone who struggled with this question so deeply suddenly be satisfied with this answer? But for Asaf, the answer is not just words. It's a clear, tangible reality. His Nevuah and his connection to the Mikdash allowed him to see the truth with certainty, not just accept it intellectually. Let's see what his conclusion is. By getting clarity from either the Mikdash or from his Nevuah, he suddenly understands that the success of those who are evil is short-lived. In Psukim 18 to 20, Yudchet Kaf, he says, Ach bechalakot tashit lamo, only in slippery places do you set them. And the Radak explains that the wicked, despite their apparent success, are in a precarious situation. Their downfall is imminent. They are like someone walking on a smooth but slippery path. He feels secure because the path is so smooth, but he's unaware that he's on the verge of slipping. In Yotzeh, he says, Eich hayu l'shama karega, how the Rishaim will become desolate instantly. This foreigner explains, people are going to say, Eich hayazeh hishtatnut hagadol b'ma'at rega, so quickly did things change. In verse 20, kechalom hi'akitz, as a dream without wakening, their success is temporary, like a fleeting dream. In Psukim Kaf Aleph to Kaf Bet 21 to 22, he regrets his earlier mistaken thought process, and he says, "Vani bar v'lo eda, I was foolish. I didn't know. Behemot hayiti imach. I acted like an animal towards you, Hashem." But he continues in 23 to 28 with renewed faith and trust in God, and he takes pride in the fact that even though he was wrong in his thinking, he never let go of his relationship with Hashem, because when he asked the questions, they came from a real place of wanting to know and not of rebellion, and he thanks Hashem for having stayed right by him and showing him the way. V'ani tamid imach, yet I was constantly with you. Achasta b'yad yamin yi, you grasped my right hand. Rashi comments that Asaf acknowledges Hashem's unwavering support. Even when he's uncertain and confused, Hashem's guidance is always there for him. Tenacheni b'atzatcha, you guide me with your counsel. Asaf now understands that the most important thing he has in life is his relationship with Hashem. So even if the wicked seem to be more successful, his connection with Hashem is so much better than all the riches in the world. Lo chafatzti ba'aretz, verse 25, I desire nothing on earth, the Malbim explains, lo chafatzti ba'artziyut klal. I don't even care about all of the so-called success in the material world. I understand now that what's important to me are my successes in the spiritual world and my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He concludes in verse 28, Vani kirvat elokim li tov. But as for me, Hashem's closeness is my good. Sforno explains, "Ba'ani behefech, as opposed to the wicked, who are only looking for material prosperity, for me, kirvat elokim litov, the ultimate good is my closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu." What a beautiful way to end off this mizmor. And he concludes with a renewed sense of mission, saper kol melachotecha, to tell the world of the life lessons he has learned. Over the next 10 days, we will join Asaf in this mission and see how he goes on to share what he has learned with the masses. Thank you for studying Le'iloi Nishmot, Helen Moskowitz and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II Sherita Pleita. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day, sponsored by their grandchildren Yitzchak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.